Today's first reading is from the book of Baruch, a disciple of the prophet Jeremiah at the time of the Babylonian conquest and the exile of the people of Judea around the year 588 BC. The people were led to Babylon in chains, and Baruch's prophecy is that the time is coming when the hand of God would prevail over their captors and the people would return to their homeland. That time finally came when Cyrus of Persia conquered the Babylonians and sent all the captive people back to their homes. The Hebrews were exiled because they deserted the God who had called them and formed them to be his people. They had not stopped worshiping in the temple, but their faith in God was just a little more than lip service. They actually joined in with the pagan customs of those around them. They practiced pagan immorality. They even offered their children for child sacrifice to the pagan gods. They adopted pagan glorification of the material things over the spiritual. For all of these sins, God let them be led into exile. And once in exile, the people realized there was no hope for them to free themselves. And they came to realize that they were completely dependent on God to free them. In their need, they turned back to God to work his power and might for them. And Baruch prophesied that God would deliver them, and he did. The condition of the Hebrew people we're in is not at all different than our own present human conditions. Many people today give lip service to religion and live as pagans. Many people live for the glory and material of the material over the spiritual. So many people fail to put God first in their lives. We know we have to fight evil, but it is stronger than we are, at least when we are left to our own devices. So we must call upon God to deliver us from evil. He is more powerful than anything attacking us. He frees us from all that holds us captive. If we fail to recognize the evils that attack us, then we become lost. There's an old story, you might be somewhat familiar with it, of a people who needed to recognize their frailty and their need for God. I believe this story can help us understand why we call out to God every Advent. The story is that of the Wolf of Gubbio. Back in the 13th century Italy, there was a beautiful city named Gubbio nestled in the foothills of the Apennine Mountain. The city had magnificent churches, a splendid civic building, a beautiful piazza for meetings. The people were all, for the most part, very well off and very, very proud of their city. When the people from Gubbio traveled to another part of Italy, they would be recognized by their dress, just as all the people of that era wore the distinctive clothing of their own town. They would also be recognized by their haughtiness. "We are from Gubbio," they would proclaim with their words and their mannerisms. They were proud, arrogant, and just really full of themselves. Well, one night in early fall, a shadowy figure lurked out of the woods from Gubbio. It made its way through the streets and the alleys of the city, and the next morning, a terrible discovery was made. One of the citizens of the city, an elderly man, was found dead in the street. He was bloodied, his bones were broken, he appeared to be mauled, and everyone was afraid. "Some stranger must have come to our city and done this horrible thing," someone said. Everyone that night stayed inside and locked their doors, except for one woman. She was found dead the next morning. As the people gathered around her body, another lady called out, "I saw what happened. It was a wolf. I saw a wolf walk right down the street by my house last night, a very big gray wolf." All that day, the talk of the town was, "What are we going to do? How are we going to get this wolf out of Gubbio?" Some said we were going to have to call for military assistance, but others said no, that all of Italy will know that there's a wolf in Gubbio. People will mock us. No one will ever visit our city again. No merchants will come to trade with us. And they cried, "What will we do? What will we do?" A young girl in the crowd spoke up, saying, "I heard that in one of our neighboring cities there's a holy man who talks to animals. Why don't we ask him to talk to the wolf?" Some people thought she was crazy, but no one had a better idea. So they formed a delegation and sent them to the neighboring city with a mission to find the holy man and ask him to come and tell the wolf to obey God's commandments. The delegation went to that city and found the holy man. He was short and frail, and he wore a very dirty brown habit. They told him their problem and asked him to talk to the wolf and to tell him to obey God's commandments. Tell him to leave us alone and go someplace else. The next day, then, the man walked to Gubbio and entered the woods on the outskirts of the city. He walked for a while when he came upon the beast. He said, "Brother Wolf, we need to talk." That evening, the holy man was standing in the piazza of Gubbio by their beautiful fountain. And the people gathered around and asked, "Did you find the wolf? Did you tell him to obey God's commandments and leave us alone?" The holy man just stood there on the steps of the fountain and said, "This is what you are to do. Feed your wolf." "Our wolf," they said. "He's not our wolf." But the holy man just said it again, "Feed your wolf." And he moved through the crowd and walked back to his hometown. That night, the lone gray figure lurked again through the city. The wolf went up one street and the next and then down an alley. And suddenly, a door opened and a plate of meat was pushed outside. The wolf ate the meat and went away. Again, the next night, the wolf prowled the town and someone else laid out a plate of meat and the meat that was eaten by the wolf, and he left. After a while, every single family had fed the wolf, and the wolf did them no more harm. Now when they would travel from city to city, and people would ask them where they were from, they would say Gubbio. And the people would ask, "Gubbio, don't you have a wolf in Gubbio?" And they would respond, "Yes, and we feed our wolf in Gubbio." Now the holy man, if you haven't guessed, was, of course, St. Francis of Assisi. And the point of this strange story is that people had been so arrogant that they did not recognize their need for a savior. When Francis told them to feed their wolf, he was telling them to realize their need for God. If we are haughty and above it all, how can we possibly appreciate the gift of God's mercy? We wonder if we even need a savior when we are so convinced of our goodness and so proud of our achievements. It's when we recognize our frailty that we will then understand our need for the Son of God to redeem ourselves from ourselves. Then we appreciate the wonder of Christmas, the wonder of the birth of Jesus. The wolf in Gubbio is our own frail humanity, our sinfulness, needing the hand of our Savior to feed us, to keep from destroying ourselves and others. The wolf of Gubbio reminds us that we are dependent on the ultimate mercy of God. The story of Gubbio, if you haven't recognized it, is an analogy of the infinite mercy of God freeing us from the forces of evil, as he did in the first story today, in the freeing of the Hebrew people from captivity in Babylon. Pope Francis often reminds us how much we need God's mercy. One of the themes of his papacy is that God's mercy is greater than our deepest hope and need. He often says that the only limits to God's mercy are those we ourselves put on God. We stop seeking mercy because we are too proud to acknowledge our needs, or decide that our sins are too terrible to be forgiven, or even worse, that we are without sin. When we think like that, we're wrong. We all need God's mercy, and he wants us to receive his mercy. God sees what evil is doing in our world. He sees that evil is doing to each one of us. He sees how much we need to be freed from that evil. He has a great, great compassion for us. We live under the mercy of God because he alone is greater than the evils of our lives. To prepare well for Christmas in this Advent season is to recognize the need for Christ in our lives, and what a gift it is. He is the one who fills our emptiness. He is the one who completes our inadequacies. If our emptiness and our inadequacies are filled by Jesus Christ, then we should thank God for our need for his presence. We thank God for leading us to call out to his Son. We thank God for the need that he alone can fill. And we proclaim to the world that sees us as frail humans that, yes, we have a wolf, but we feed our wolf. We feed our wolf with that merciful presence whose birth we will celebrate in a short time on December 25th. We who have been forgiven need to proclaim to the world the mercy of God. In the words of the prophet Baruch, "Rejoice, Jerusalem, for your Savior is in your midst." And God knows we need him.